Blog Talk Radio.
I don't wanna be that lie to make a second guess who I'm representing. No, I'm not perfect. No, I'm not ashamed to confess. I just want you to see that I'm trying. And no, it's not a game. Ain't gonna lose no sleep over what people say.
Just think it needs to be said. Y'all don't really get the picture. Focus your attention on what really matters instead. Believe it or not, I'm with ya. Don't get too caught up in what you see on the ground. I will stay high for you, cause that's just all I am.
Charlene, and welcome to Women Speak Now and Be Heard. It's September 2019. Let's give God a praise. Hallelujah. Amen. We have made it, my God, to the last month of the third quarter of the year. And truly, God is definitely turning on the lights and definitely making known what's in his heart to his people. Hallelujah. Well, I want to welcome all those that are on the call tuning in, as well as those that have tuned in on the online internet. Amen. And thank you for tuning in. I pray you all are praying with me as we pray together that God will have his way, that he will bless the message. And I thank God for this opportunity. I'm always saying it without fail. I'm humbled by it, and I'm grateful. So, you know, I'm not praising the man of God in the sense of, you know, worshiping. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like someone said, roll out the red carpet, roll out the red carpet. But definitely giving honor to whom honor is due. Thank God for Pastor Edward E. Hamilton. I thank God for his spirit. I thank God for his fervor and his tenacity to preach the word without fear. to give God the glory. Thank you, Jesus, for the fire, the encouragement, the uplifting that every time I'm able to tune in on the Wake Up, Get Up, and Move in Your Purpose broadcast, my spirit is stirred, and I'm encouraged by the word of God that comes from the ministry from the man of God. I pray that if you haven't tuned in to Get Up, Wake Up, and Move in Your Purpose, definitely tune into it, and may the Lord minister to you through that avenue as well. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And definitely giving God the glory and praise for who He is, the God of heaven, the only true and living God who is worthy of all glory, all honor, all praise, of all of our worship and adoration. Truly, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, and truly the listeners can testify, if it had not been for the Lord on your side, where would you be? Where would we be? We would be like a ship in the ocean without a sail, just wandering off, my God, into endlessness, not knowing where to go, not knowing what to do. But thanks be to God Most High. He is making His will known to us. And truly, I'm humbled for the portion He's given to me to share. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's bless Him. I began to think about what is the message for September 2019. And so, you know, amazingly, I began to think about the what ifs and what if nots in our walk with Christ. And one thing that I often have heard with the conditions that are read in the Word of God, if you do this, then God will do that. And if you don't do this, then God won't do that. And, you know, I began to, you know, search my heart and seek the face of God concerning this month. And the word is very clear, and it's just one word. And the name of the topic tonight is because. Mm-hmm. Because. So I pray that you will pray with me so I can bring this out to the best of my ability. Amen. There's a scripture in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, a familiar scripture. If you have your Bibles, let's leap on over here to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. Amen. It clearly is saying what God is saying. Hallelujah. It says, if my people, which are called by my name, somebody say my name. Yes, His name. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then, somebody say then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Hallelujah. If, that's a big word there, because it is wrapped around the idea that you can choose not to do something. Hallelujah. So it's like the ball is enrolled into your court. Now, there's times when I would be led to say, we're at a table and there's plates and God is serving us. You know how Jesus came on the scene and He had the towel, as it were, of a servant over His arm, and He began to wash the feet of the disciples. And one of them said, oh, no, you shouldn't wash my feet. But He said, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part with me. So we're sometimes seemingly as though we're at a table. But, you know, as I'm thinking about this, you know, I could say, you know, we're at a soccer game or maybe at a football game, and maybe there's yards that have to be gained, and maybe there's yards that are lost. Because the devil wants us to lose ground in our walk with Christ. He wants us to deny the fact that we need the Lord. And this ultimatum, as it were, is set here in the scripture of an if. Because if we don't, then God is not going to hear from heaven. Oh, my God. If we don't humble ourselves and pray, and not just only pray, but when you're praying, you're seeking the face of God. Come on, somebody. We can pray for anything. And God is not an arrogant God, but God can just dismiss the prayer. Come on, somebody. If He knows our heart, we're praying amiss. We're praying for our own covetous, wicked, you know, of Adam nature, of our or of selfishness, of self, because of things we've experienced in our past that have broken us. And so you make a vow, I'll never love again. I'll never forgive again. I'll never let someone do that to me again. And we make these vows to ourselves, and they become like locks and chains upon our hearts. Are you praying with me on tonight? He said, if my people which are called by my name, this is not necessarily talking about the unbeliever. These are the people that know that God is the Almighty God, that God is the God who says, I will bless you, and I will bless those that bless you. He's the God that says, I will curse them that curse you. This same God right now is saying in the scripture, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves. Oh, yeah, you're going to have to kick out pride and lose ground to pride and humble ourselves and gain territory of the heart of God. Hallelujah. When we humble ourselves, it gives God the opportunity to say, you know, they really want me to show up and show out and throw my weight around. But here's the kicker here. He says, and pray. After you've humbled yourself and realize that you need God, then he says, and pray. Pray is communication, communing heart to heart to God. Because God already knows what's in our heart, so we have to communicate with our heart to God. But then there's another spin to it, because he says, and seek my face. So after you've humbled yourself and you began to pray about the burdens and the heartaches and the pains and the tumult of things we've gone through in our past, come on, somebody. Then we're left there feeling vulnerable because we've given these things to God in prayer. Oh, my God, from glory. But then the next part of that scripture says God is saying, and seek my face. So then the ball gets right back in our court, because if the goal is God's heart and you're trying to get the football over the goal to win points, not necessarily to get God to turn and make his will be your will, but that we're seeking the heart of God, the God's like, oh, yeah. Now you're getting into my delicate place of my heart for you. Because, see, God doesn't need anybody, but he created us for his glory. And it is the will of God that we, my God, allow him to be God over our lives, and God over and in and through our minds, and over and in and through our affections, and even the deeply rooted experiences we've had. And we may be out of them, but how many of you know that God is very thorough, because the Bible tells us that he has the eyes as a flame of fire, so he sees very well, and he knows, my God, what the impact was of certain, my God, rebellions, disobedience, my God, hurts and sorrows that have impacted the hearts of, quote, unquote, his people. Are you praying with me on tonight? So he said, and to seek his face. See, we want the heart of God. We want the will of God. We seek even the mind of God. But how many of you know there was a scripture in the Bible where Jesus, my God, the Bible says his face was turned towards Jerusalem. He knew he had to go to back there and to do something that, my God, the will of God had compelled us in his spirit to go and do. His face was turned towards, my God, Jerusalem. So if we're seeking the face of God, where is God's face turned? Is it turned to the wounds right now? When we come before God and we're praying and God is looking right at us, is he seeing the unforgiveness? Is he seeing these bruises and old wounds, years and years calcified, that are sitting on our hearts, but yet we lift up our hands and say, I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you that I love you more than anything. And he's like, But yeah, keep on drawing closer to his face. Because he says, seek my face. Sometimes we go to our friends. We go to certain friends and family that ask for their opinion, and we're seeking a face-to-face conversation with them, because we really want to, you know, we want to pour our heart out, and we really need someone to talk to. But God, being the jealous God that he is saying, if my people, my God, will seek his face. Because then he says, and to turn from their wicked ways. You would say, well, God, I'm not doing any wicked. No, evil have I done. But God said, but you have to forgive wholesomely, wholeheartedly from the pain and, my God, the defiance that came against your life my God, deliberately crush you, to discomfort you, to slight you, to mock you. There's some things that have happened, even in the, my God, edifices of the houses of God that we attend that have crushed us from quote-unquote people that are believers. Why and how can that happen? Because, not only because we're not perfect, but because we need, my God, to seek the face of God. Hallelujah. My God, he said, and turn from their wicked ways. Oh, yeah, see, there, he's putting us all in the category of there, of his people. But individually, we can seek and search and examine our heart and know, Lord, I know I've fallen short of your glory, but and I know there's some areas I haven't overcome yet. And we've dealt with some things that my God, coexisted with some things, laughing over it, eating food over it, but just from the floor up. Come on, somebody, are you yet praying with me and for me? God is such a good God that he knows we've been through it. We've been through the ringer. We've been through, my God, rough patches in our walk with him. But God says to turn from our wicked ways. A wicked way could be the resistance of repentance, the resistance of showing kindness to my brother, my sister in Christ, giving a genuine praise to the Lord that, my God, not fake and phony, but a genuine God bless you. I pray for you. Hallelujah. Because then God says, then, and you can put that in capital letters, hallelujah, then, after you do all that, then he says, then will I hear from heaven. So you mean to tell me if you're not, my God, humbling yourself in these things, God is not hearing you? So how much have we been carrying, and how long that even though we, quote, unquote, have been coming to God in prayer, that God is not hearing from heaven, oh, my God, from glory? Because the burden has to be lifted. The boulder that's sitting in our hearts that's calcified, God wants to, my God, by his fire, burn it out of us. Come on, somebody. God wants to set the captives free. He says, if you do these things that I'm telling you, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin. So you mean to tell me God won't forgive your sin? He won't forgive you. But he says, but if you do what I'm telling you, I will. He says, I will forgive your sin. He said, and I will heal your land. And you begin, as I begin to think about land, and we know the earth has land. We know we were created from the dust of the ground, and God created us, my God. And that we, you know how the word talks about the seed of the word sown in our hearts, like a grain of a seed of a mustard seed, my God. That if you were looking at yourself like, this is land here. What do I have in my land? Physical healing, mental, psychological, social. Come on, somebody. God will heal our land. He will heal us. He will, my God, bring restoration deep into the inside of our existence. Hallelujah. I began to think about what Paul described of himself. Hallelujah. Let's take a jog over to Ephesians chapter 3. Hallelujah. And we're going to go read these verses here, verses 1 through 21. And then some other scriptures because, oh, yes, it's word up tonight because we know that the word of God sanctifies us. It heals us. It rebukes us. It corrects us. And, my God, it does what no other human being on the planet can actually do. It has purified our heart. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 3, Paul describing himself of what is the reason why he's doing what he's doing. Remember the name of the message is because. He says, for this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. He's the cause is about to be manifested of why Paul is my God, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. He said it's for you Gentiles. Verse 2 says, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me, to you, for you. He said, how that by revelation, he, God, made known unto him the mystery, as he wrote afore in few words. Whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. He said, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Why? Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Why was Paul a prisoner? Because it was for him, God set him, and my God, given him grace to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ to the Gentiles. Why? Verse 9 says that to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hidden God, who created all things, by Jesus Christ, the mystery of Jesus Christ, the mystery of the Word of God becoming flesh, the mystery of the salvation, my God, that is in the Word of God. Hallelujah, my God. Verse 10, to the intent, there is an intent. Why? Because there is an intent, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Remember what we read earlier in 2 Chronicles 7:14. If we're seeking God's face, if we're repenting, then God is going to come and heal our land. Verse 10 here in Ephesians 3, why? To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. God has so much wisdom. How much wisdom does he have? Can you imagine all the ministries around the world that are preaching the will of God? And the wisdom that is coming out of each vessel that God is using, it is not in competition. It's the manifold wisdom of God. Hallelujah. Are you praying with me? Hallelujah. Ephesians 3:11 says, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Jesus Christ our Lord, the eternal purpose to reconcile us back to God our Father. It is God's will to reconcile us back into a right standing relationship with him. Hallelujah. With Christ, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, through the word of God. God brought the word. He brought light into the world, my God, and manifested it through Jesus Christ, through flesh. We know the Bible tells us, my God, the coming Messiah, that talked about the coming blameless, sinless Lamb that was going to come and die for our sins. Ephesians 3:12 says, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore, I desire that ye faint not in my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Paul was like, no, don't faint. Don't faint because of what I'm going through. It's for you. It's for your glory that you will be converted, you will be transformed, that you will be renewed and by the spirit of your mind, that you will be, my God, born again, that you will be reconciled back to God. Verse 14 says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Hallelujah. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. You talk about being born again and being renewed by the Spirit of God on the inside. Tell your neighbor, it's an inside job. We can't just go through the motions. We have to be converted and transformed, my God. And my God, he's praying that we'll be strengthened with might by God's Spirit in our inward man. Hallelujah. Verse 17, why? Because that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. And I wanted to break that down with measure of how high, how wide, how the thickness of, you know, God, the depth and the height of whatever it is that God is trying to get us to comprehend together as all saints. My God, hallelujah, my God, my God, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, hallelujah, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God, hallelujah. We know the Bible tells us that God is love, that we may be filled with all the fullness of God, hallelujah. Verse 20 says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above, hallelujah, all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. This is the cause of the because why Paul, my God, was a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Because the call of God was to reconcile us and is yet still to reconcile us right back to himself. Hallelujah. I began to think about this particular individual in the Old Testament and how he did not have any regard for God. Let's leap on over to Exodus chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 1 and 2. It says, and afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. See, we find out the because of these two scriptures of why God sent Moses and Aaron to Pharaoh in the first place. Because Pharaoh refused to let God's people go and make sacrifices to him in the wilderness, my God, to worship him, the living God. Pharaoh, my God, had the attitude of, these are my workmen. They are to do what I am demanding that they do. Hallelujah. But we find out, hallelujah, that God wanted Israel to do what? In Exodus 5:1, to hold a feast unto him in the wilderness. Exodus 5:3, to sacrifice unto the Lord our God. And they said that lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with sword. Exodus 5:7, Pharaoh didn't regard it. He said, don't give the children of Israel any more straw. He was like, let them gather the straw for themselves. He got offended because Moses and Aaron went to him to tell him what God said. So Pharaoh, being obstinate, began to say what he said. Being a Pharaoh that had people under him, he could tell them what he wanted them to do, and they would do it. So we know that the taskmasters, my God, made the children of Israel have to go find more straw to, my God, make brick. Hallelujah. The idea of me mentioning this was that verse 11 of Genesis chapter 5 says what my God, Pharaoh was telling them. He said, go ye, get you straw where ye can find it, yet not aught of your work shall be diminished. Verse 12, so the people were scattered abroad throughout Israel to gather stubble instead of straw. Hold up. Let's stop and take a real pause right here. So, okay, you mean to tell me these are the same children of Israel, the Israel whose name was Jacob, whose father was Isaac, whose father was Abraham, okay? So let's go right back to the scriptures before this time when the children of Israel was getting beat down and you know, run down physically by Pharaoh's taskmasters. This was what was going on. But God had sent promises to them. Let's reach back to the scriptures where God gave Abraham a sure word of who he is to him. And God also gave him a promise of a child. Are you ready? Let's go. Let's go to Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. God tells Abraham who he is to him. He says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. When I'm finding out of this scripture here, God was letting Abraham, who were the father of the children of Israel that was underneath Pharaoh's, my God, bondage, God was letting Abraham know that he, not to fear, but he was letting him know, I am thy exceeding great reward. It's that same Abraham, my God, that, my God, shifted on down, my God, when he had a son named, my God, Isaac. Hallelujah. It was a promise that God said I was going to give him, that he was going to give him a son. And he was going to establish his covenant with him. And my God, and we find out in Genesis 21:3, and Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, which Sarah bare to him, Isaac. We find out in Genesis 25:20 that Isaac marries Rebekah. And we know the story of that, my God. And we find out in Genesis 25:21 that, my God, Isaac entreated the Lord for her, my God, because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah conceived. Hallelujah. And we find out in Genesis 26:24 that God speaks to Isaac, and the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee and will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant. As we go onward, we find out in Genesis 27:27-29, and my God, that Isaac blesses Jacob. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment and blessed him and said, see, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord God, which the Lord has blessed. Therefore, God give thee of the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let's halt right there, because there's two dynamics from this part of Scripture in the past with the children of Israel's forefathers and as they are being beat down by Pharaoh's taskmasters. Are you praying with me? Uh-huh. Because they resisted to obey God, they ended up in, my God, well, actually, before they became into, my God, Egypt, we know that God gave Joseph a dream, and that's how Joseph ended up in Egypt. And we find out, my God, that that Pharaoh died that he was under, and then another Pharaoh came in, which was the tyrant. And we find out that he refused to let the people of God go. And so the dynamic is God had promised his children blessing, my God, increase, my God, the good and the fat of the land. But we see another dynamic with them under Pharaoh's rule, suffering, being beat down, being, my God, scattered abroad. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 27, verse 29 says, God is saying, let people serve thee and nations bow to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren and let thy mother's sons bow to thee. He's still blessing Jacob. Isaac is blessing Jacob here. He said, let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Curse be everyone that curseth thee and blessed be he that blesseth thee. Oh, my God, from glory. We find out in Genesis 28, my God, that Jacob begins to have a dream about a ladder reaching up into heaven. We find out in Genesis 28:13-15 that God speaks to Jacob. And he said in verse 13, and behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed, and thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in thee, and in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, God is telling him in that dream, I am with thee and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. Oh, yeah, that's his word up tonight. And so basically the two dynamics is God decreeing and declaring blessing over Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we see Pharaoh, my God, treating the children of Israel like they're scum of the earth, like they're gum under his shoe, like you know what I'm saying? Like they need him. He don't need them. Come on, somebody. But he wanted them to do, my God, to build his city, to do what he wanted them to do, my God. Because he see that there was a great people. It was a very large company of people. The reason why I began to think about the because of the message is God wants to bless his people. But because of obstinance, because of resistance, because of, my God, are you praying with me, folk playing church and playing saved and playing, my God, one way in the church, one way out. Come on, somebody. Then God cannot manifest, my God, his perfect, preferable will, my God, to bless his people. Why? Because he wants us to treat each other the way that we want to be treated. He wants us to love one another with a pure heart fervently. He wants us to, my God, love our neighbor. We hear these different scenarios and sentences throughout the series of these messages of loving our neighbor as ourselves and walking in love and walking in peace. But when we don't do these things, people say, can you hinder the hand of God? You may not hinder his hand, but you will delay it. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Sometimes God is making us delay because he's doing a thorough work. Oh, yes. Because he's doing a thorough work on the inside. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us in Genesis 29:28, that Jacob marries Rachel. Jacob and his wives and family flee Laban in Genesis 31. Jacob repairs and makes amends with his brother Esau in Genesis 32. Jacob wrestles with an angel in Genesis 32:24-26. And because of that wrestling, Jacob's name is changed to Israel. Hence, how we zoom over right back to where the children of Israel are under Pharaoh's bondage. If you do this, then God said, I'll do that. But if you don't do this, then God says, I won't do that. We find out that the children of Israel, when God finally, my God, not finally, but God sent those plagues, and he said, oh, yeah, I know Pharaoh won't let you go because I'm hardening his heart. But God knew what was going to eventually make Pharaoh let his children go. And so we find out that once they were let go and God began to make a way of escape for them to come out of Pharaoh's land and out of his bondage and out of his hand of hard rule, that God began to send the children of Israel by the way of the Red Sea. We find out further on out of the Red Sea that God said, I'm going to prove them and see if they will serve me or not. He began to search and to look at their hearts. And we know the Bible talks about that they, some of them died in the wilderness. Because God wants to know, are you serving me for my hand or are you serving me for my heart? Do you want what I've got or do you want relationship with me, the Lord your God? Because, see, it's the will of God to not only prosper us in health, in wealth, my God, in our body, my God, in our mind. My God, it's not only God's will to prosper us like that, but God wants us to have a relationship with him. Hallelujah. And that being said, I began to think about, my God, the singles. And being a godly single, you know, God is, I always say he's the bomb.com because we know Jesus was single, but we know he was God in the flesh, and so he came to do the will of him that sent him, and it was all well with his soul. Praise the Lord. Amen. So we know that God is not the author of confusion, but that he is doing a thorough work. How many of you could be honest that there's some wounds and bruises that you need to be healed from? I heard in my spirit the third Sunday of August, real clear, miracles, signs, and wonders. Now, we know that God is the only one that can do true miracles, signs, and wonders. There's times when you can read the word of God and it can begin to minister to you deep in the inside of your soul, your heart, your character, and your mind, and God can do a miracle, a change, a sign, and a wonder within you, to your core. Hallelujah. That you will never be the same again because of the impact of the truth of your willing heart to allow God's word to come in and to minister to you. Hallelujah. That being said, I began to think about the healings and deliverances that, my God, singles, my God, need. Many need because of the wounds and bruises of broken relationships. Oh, yes. Our healing and deliverances are in God's hands. God has the power to heal the things that have caused the brokenness, the wounds, the resistance in our hearts to love again, to have compassion, to have sensitivity, to identify truth, to identify, my God, recognizing, God, are you bringing, my God, me into understanding of what true love is. Some things we've experienced in our past, it's going to take nothing but God to perform inward miracles, signs, and wonders. They can occur by faith. It can become, existent by the sanctifying word of God. When we read God's word, we find that healing ability, like a result of a healing ability in Galatians chapter 5. Let's sprint on over to Galatians chapter 5. Hallelujah. We're going to read familiar scripture, verse 22-26. Yes, amen. And it says here, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. If we were to break all those nine qualities down of the fruit of the Spirit, we can raise our hand and testify that, God, I've fallen short of these qualities. There will be a manifestation of God's healing and restoration within my soul. We find out in 1 John chapter 4, verse 20 and 21. It says, if a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar, for he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God, love his brother also. All right, singles, are you ready? There are some questions here. Now, the call, you know, you're welcome to call in to these questions, or even let them marinate on your mind, on your spirit, and let the Lord be your guide in answering them. Hallelujah. Because you don't have to really, if you don't feel led to answer them online, that's fine. But answer them in your heart before God in prayer. The first question is, what have you experienced in your past that can very well block, stop, or hinder you from fulfilling God's will with you becoming mentally, emotionally, psychologically whole? Searching your heart and mind is a clue in letting God do miraculous miracles, signs, and wonders within. Second question, has any sermon, Bible study, or teaching, or song tugged on your heartstrings, revealing to you that inner healing yet awaits your acceptance of its truths? Third question, how far away are you from moving past old hurt, heartaches, pain, bad memories from past broken relationships? Mm-hmm. Question four, why have you concluded, as far as I'm concerned, there are not any good, godly, single men out there anymore? Or women would say, there's none there. Men would say, there's no godly, as far as I'm concerned, there's no godly women out there who want a committed relationship. There's three more questions. Five, what do you think is the reason why there are so many singles? Overwork, financial lack, emotional lack, selfishness, being a loner, and satisfied with it? Question six, men, here's your turn to help a single sister. What are we seemingly not aware of concerning why we're single? What do you say or think that we're doing wrong or right? Same question to the sisters. What say you? What have you noticed about brothers of what you would say that they're doing wrong or doing right, of why we would give them a chance to talk to us or not talk to us? Last question. What are the deal breakers when it comes to communication? Being a communicator is important, but is the person talking too much or not enough? Are they being more nosy or too nosy? Are they allowing the conversation to naturally, my God, exist? And are they being patient to give God the chance to help the opportunity to discern that there's a genuine godly connection? Amen. And because being the messages, that's a lot of reasons why, because we're single and because maybe there are some that are courting and are engaged, but amen, praise God, glory to God. But because of the message, the substance of it is, Lord, am I seeking your will or am I seeking my will? Why am I stagnant? Is it because I'm resisting the will of God? Or is it because I'm oblivious and not knowing that, my God, God is making his will known to me? Being healed, receiving wholeness. Because at the end of the day, what good is being in a relationship if you're not both willing to allow God to make you whole on the inside? Amen. Praise God. Because that's what really matters. Amen. Because of Jesus Christ, we can be made whole. Because of Jesus Christ, we can receive inner healing. Because of Jesus Christ, we can be made to be rapture ready. Because of Jesus Christ, we can experience not only being born again, but being converted into the image of Jesus Christ, into the characteristics of the Lord, of our perfect, who is our perfect example. My God, that we don't have to, my God, throw ourselves out there to the wolves. We don't have to throw ourselves out there, my God, to be thirsty, to be desperate. Come on, somebody. That we can trust God in our wholeness to walk uprightly before him. my God, with a heart of gratitude, that he doesn't want damaged goods. He wants his children whole. He doesn't want Pharaoh or the world or any false, my God, advice to beat us down, to wear us out, my God, to have us compromise with anything less than excellence, less than, my God, what would give God glory. Hallelujah. Because of Jesus Christ, we have been set free and made free. Amen. The lines are open. If you have a question or comment, you're welcome to call in. No more sick and tired. Amen. And if not, I will go in to prayer. Heavenly Father God, I thank you. I thank you for being a God who sometimes you break our hearts, meaning you break the hardness that's on our hearts that is calcified to hinder us from being made whole. You're able to break off the calcified rocks around our hearts, or maybe what has gotten into our hearts that resist to identify true, my God, kindness, true compassion, true, my God, godly counsel, true, my God, advice on my God, overcoming ourselves, overcoming, my God, a spirit of, you know, sometimes even being born again, we realize we've had old hostilities we have yet to be healed from, things that have caused hot debates and heart arguments, that our demeanor and our spirit has been is rough around the edges. Heavenly Father God, we've been bitter, we've been made mean, we've been made mad, we've been made angry, my God, because of the things we have experienced. God, but I'm asking, God, that you would go into these difficult places, these hard, calcified areas in our hearts as singles and as the body of Christ, where we resist being genuinely kind and considerate to our brothers and our sisters in Christ. Lord, we know that you're not the author of confusion, but of life and peace. We know that your word tells us if we, my God, take heed, my God, and hearken to your voice, God. Hearken to the word, God. Hearken and obey your word, my God, and keep your commandments. It doesn't mean that every single person is going to get married. It doesn't mean that every relationship in the body of Christ is going to be, my God, hunky-dory, but you said to love one another, oh God. You told us to treat each other the way that we want to be treated, do unto others as we would have them do unto us. At the least thing, you said, as much as lies within you, to follow peace with all men, oh God. Help us to walk in peace. Help us have a heart that is peaceable, not with any ulterior motive or intention to get anything. We're not throwing hints out here to say we're single and available. That's not the motive of the message, because the idea is that, Lord, whatever your will is, your perfect will, not your permissive will, but what your perfect will is for our lives, and Father God, is to be whole, is to receive inner healing. God, we go through our life carrying baggage and carrying old hurts because we've learned to cope with them. But God, it is not your will that we continue going on damaged in that type of condition. So I'm asking not that folks single just up and just oh well, you know what, you know, you don't have to run to the altar, but run to Jesus Christ. Run to where your healing awaits you. Hallelujah. We tend to walk away from the altar too quick when the healing is about to manifest. Help us, God, as we're on our knees before you and worshiping and praying and crying out to you. God, that not only will you come in and heal our land and forgive our sin and wash us and cleanse us, but make us whole. Make us whole, Lord God, that we, if you do, according to your perfect will, my God, begin to make things occur, my God, in your plan, in your purpose for our lives, God, that it will be, my God, glorious before you, that you will be glorified, my God, that you, my God, are making things right, making the wrong right, making the crooked things straight, Lord God. What we've experienced in our past that brought heartache and pain, that, God, you will bring joy and peace, my God, and happiness and bliss, oh God. And you'll be glorified in seeing the joy, my God, God, on the faces of your people. So, Lord, I give you the glory. I give you the honor because you, your word says it's your will that we have your joy in us, oh, my God, from glory, and that our joy would be full. So, Lord, we're asking for the fullness of your joy, and we give you the glory. We give you the honor with great expectation in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone, my God, on the football field, gaining territory, gaining land, getting the goal of God's heart, say amen.
I don't want to be that lie to make a second guess who I'm representing. No, I'm not perfect. No, I'm not ashamed to confess. I just want you to see that I'm trying. And no, it's not a game. Ain't gonna lose no sleep over what people say.
Thing it needs to be said. Y'all don't really get the picture. Focus your attention on what we're